Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Last week in our study of Joel 3, we were talking about 2 Chronicles 20, verse 10, where God causes the armies that came against Israel to kill each other. Oh, wow. Listen as we get into the study today. The world does not accept God's decisions on the matter, but God will have to forcibly come, and come someday soon, and show He is still in control. Now, as we look at the text, the first thing I want you to see, He is pleading for my people, He says here, and my heritage, Israel. I like that terminology there in verse 2. God gathers all nations. Now, it's interesting that the scholars tell us that the word gather has the idea of to bring together or collect by force, and to do it to a single location. Now, it is said that the structure of the statement is such that the focus is intense in making sure that all are gathered to this particular spot, the valley of Jehoshaphat. This reminds us of 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 10. There we read this, "And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and destroyed them not." Now, God will not allow Israel to fight against these lands, Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, when they came out of the wilderness, and when they were in the wilderness, those 40 years they wandered there. But then they became a nation, and now these same people that God told them not to invade, not to do anything to them, they are gathering as one to fight against the Jews in Jerusalem. Jehoshaphat the king knows that he is greatly outnumbered, and so he does the right thing. He calls the people to fast. And they fast, and they go to the place, and they find that all the armies are dead. When they arrived, they sang holiness to the Lord, for all the people in the valley were dead. They had killed each other. And God was able to prevent his own people from having to fight and do this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 26 says, "And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Baraka." Some say Baraka. "For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place was called the Valley of Baraka," or Baraka, "unto this day." Now, I like that. I remember right here in the area where I live in Ocala, back in the 1960s when I first moved here after graduating from high school, moved here with my dad and mom, of course, and I was here for a couple months before going off to college. But we had off Old Buffington Road. There was a place there that would help those that had been alcoholics and other people of that nature. And they called it Baraka. And I loved that. I really did. Well, Baraka was a valley of death to the enemies, but it was a valley of blessing. Baraka to Israel. And so too at Armageddon. It'll be a blessing for Israel. Now, these nations in the tribulation who gather will think they're coming as a result of their own decision. They think that this is something they made, a decision they made in their own wisdom. But notice, Revelation chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. Please listen as I read. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates. And the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth. They're always on guard against the devil, against evil, making his way in, and the world, and keepeth his garments. We want to be unspotted in our personal life as well as in our church life. Had not loved the world, nor the things that are in the world. So he says, that keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. Now, it's interesting to me because these think that they are coming at their own wisdom. Proverbs chapter 21 in verse 1 says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. That's why we call him King of Kings, as well as Lord of Lords. You see, kings of this earth and of this world, they only reign at the allowance of the Lord. Oh yes, Satan may put many of them in their place, but they are only allowed to do what God allows. The restrainer is here, and they can't go beyond the restrainer, the Holy Spirit of God. Now, this is not the first time that this has happened, that the spirits of devils go out and they get an army to go to a place which will end up in their destruction. We actually have an example of that, and that happened back in the days of Ahab. It's the same era as Jehoshaphat. As a matter of fact, Jehoshaphat was there with him. And so, it is the story of a prophet by the name of Micaiah. And we see the story in 1 Kings chapter 22, verses 20 through 22. They have brought Micaiah out of the prison. 400 priests have prophesied and telling Ahab to go and about the victory he'd have. But Jehoshaphat, being a righteous king, been a king who was saved, but doing something that God doesn't want any Christian to do, and that is, he doesn't want him compromising. He doesn't want him ecumenicalizing. Basically, that's what Jehoshaphat was doing. He is ecumenicalizing and going with these false prophets. Ecumenicalism is never, never, never right in God's sight. Now, in man's sight, they think it's a great thing. But in God's sight, if you read the Bible, you'll see that that is quite evil. And it'll be the basis of the one world religion of the last days, which I believe is centered in Rome. Well, Jehoshaphat's not too comfortable, even with 400 men considered to be prophets of God saying the same thing. So he says to Ahab, do you have anybody else around here that is a prophet? He said, well, I got this one guy named Micaiah. He never says anything good about me. You know, Micaiah's a negative preacher. He keeps hitting that same sin over and over. You know how to get a preacher to stop preaching about the same sin over and over? Stop doing the sin. If you'll stop doing the sin, he'll probably stop preaching on it, because if nobody's doing it, then he's not going to preach on that sin. Now, I find that that's quite an interesting thing there. See, God only leads you to attack the gates of hell. And the pastor better not cower in that battle. Well, there were 400 here that had cowered, but there was one who did not. And so, he asked, is there anybody? And they said, Micaiah. And even when they're bringing Micaiah, God says, hey, say something good. Everybody else has. And Micaiah says, well, I'll just tell him what the Lord said. I'll tell him what he wanted me to say. And so they're getting him to say all these things. They want him to be very positive, be a positive preacher, just speak smooth things. Micaiah, you're going to preach just to defend yourself. Let me say this. Any time you think that a preacher's been attacked and so his preaching is just defending himself, that isn't the issue. Don't try to figure out the pastor's motives or anything of that nature, but ask yourself, is he preaching the word? That's most important. Understand, at the point where Satan attacked, that is the point at which you meet him. So Satan may definitely be attacking at that point. And if he is, if that pastor is any kind of a godly man at all, he's going to meet the devil at the point of attack. And so as a result, yeah, you're going to hear sermons that seem to hit it over and over until the devil retreats. So just understand, that's the way God works in this day. Now, I don't get up and preach sermons on the sin of holding black men in slavery. You know why? Because today, we don't have black men in slavery that we have on our farms, and we have them working from night to day. We take whips and whip them, and we pair them up like animals, and we put them in little shanty shacks that aren't even good enough for animals to live in. Now, we don't do that today, so that's not really the sin I need to preach on. Now, prejudice, yeah, that is a sin we need to hit. But slavery, we don't have it in this country, so I don't preach on that on Sundays. But if it was active here, I would need to hit it hard. And so, understand that you stop preaching when the sin stops on those things. And I hope that you understand that, because that's the way our Lord works.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.